fungus, but be careful. Straight bleach can burn, so dilute 1 teaspoon of bleach in 1 cup of water and use an eyedropper to squirt that mixture under the nail twice a day until your new nail grows in. Next, you can treat burns with a tomato. The lycopene in tomatoes is a natural anti-inflammatory and can ease the pain and swelling of minor burns. And one more home remedy that works? Crushed aspirin stops the pain and itching of insect bites. Aspirin contains an ingredient which reduces pain, swelling, and redness. The trick? You crush 3 aspirin in a few drops of water to make a paste. Spread on the bug bite for 2 minutes twice a day, and then you rinse with cool water. I'm John Tesh with today's Intelligence for Your Life Minute.
Thank you, Mr. Tesh. You can hear much more of John Tesh. In fact, his entire program coming up later this evening at 6 o'clock following the Sweet Lou Turner quality broadcast that is heard at 2 o'clock right here on WRJN. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, along with my tag team partner on these community conversations, Mark Eichhorst, and he is the county executive of the great county of Racine, Wisconsin. Please welcome back to your radio friend, Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave. Good morning, Mr. County Executive.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
See, county czar just rolls off the tongue easier.
Yes.
Last time,
I do like that. I've gotten a lot of compliments on that, by the way. So yes.
So we're just going to call you County Czar from now on.
Not a problem.
Yeah, because there's so many good titles in government. You got your mayors, you got your governors, your congressmen, your senators, your presidents. I'm looking right now at the FBI director, James Comey, testifying before Congress. County executive, it's not regal enough. So we like czar.
All right, let's do it.
That's great. So have you been following this thing with Hillary and Director Comey just absolutely ripping her and yet not recommending criminal charges?
Yeah, I have been following it, you know, as someone who's interested in civics and, more importantly, the future of our country. I do follow it, and, you hope that, you know, whatever happened, if nobody's above the law, and you know, in this case, and I don't know the details specifically, but if somebody should be, prosecuted for any law, whether it's a county czar or a secretary of state, nobody's above the law.
Well, that's what we say, but that's not true, is it?
Well, you'd like to think it's true, but no. I guess that our justice system can be coerced to those that have the resources to defend themselves. That's for sure.
And that are in positions of power. Every so often, you get a governor or a government official or a major business leader being prosecuted and convicted of a crime. But one of the classic examples of all time, of course, is Richard Nixon. Now, at least Nixon had the decency to resign. But it took Republican senators going to him and saying, Mr. President, you got to go. And he did. But then one of the first things that Gerald Ford did, of course, was pardon Nixon. Why? Mm-hmm. Because he broke the law.
Right.
And so he had to be pardoned or Nixon would have been prosecuted. So people have a feeling that there is a double standard in our society because there's a double standard in our society. As a government official yourself, what do you tell your constituents that understand that people that are in positions of power have an advantage?
Well, I mean, in particular, I mean, if you go back to the case, another example before Hillary, the governor of Virginia, I mean, I do believe he did get prosecuted for impropriety in office.
Bob McDonald.
Yes, Bob McDonald, correct. I think that, you know, for me in particular, you know, there isn't as a huge scope on a county executive, you know, as versus other positions. But, you know, part of the responsibility of taking a position is knowing you're going to be under the microscope and you got to pay your taxes and to me, it's not only abiding by the law, but you have to make sure that you're going the extra step to make sure that you're not even encroaching the line to violate the law. But, you know, what do I tell my constituents, Glenn? I think, you know, ultimately, that's not going to happen with me, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that I'm abiding by the law. And unfortunately, I guess some of our democracy isn't perfect.
Bob McDonnell, you mentioned, he was the former Virginia governor that was prosecuted by the Obama Justice Department for taking bribes, basically, as governor, and the Supreme Court threw it out.
Right.
They threw out the conviction, but he had to go all the way to the Supreme Court. He will never be the same. The same Justice Department now, who President Clinton meets with the Attorney General who runs the department, as she's investigating his wife, and President Obama last October said that Hillary Clinton had not violated any laws and that she had not jeopardized national security. How did he know that? You talk about prejudicing a case. Holy moly.
Yes, I have a feeling if it was a Republican president, it would be different, that's for sure. But, you know, ultimately, from a bigger picture, again, I don't know, democracy's not perfect, and it's unfortunate that if the secretary, at the very least, we know she misspoke because the FBI told us she broke laws and she said she didn't. So, unfortunately, I don't think there's going to be a real consequence in terms of the law. We'll see about public opinion.
It seems like, now, the beautiful humans know that I'm an independent, so I don't have a dog in this hunt. I'm just fascinated by the human experience that is manifested in things like politics and sports and other areas of life. But it seems like, to me, that the Republicans will not back their party or hurt the Democrats near as much as the Democrats do to the Republicans. For example, when the Supreme Court ruled that Obamacare was constitutional, the deciding vote was Chief Justice John Roberts, a Republican appointee by George W. Bush. And he made up this thing that the mandate that the Obama administration and the Congress said was not a tax was indeed a tax, even though they argued in the Supreme Court that it wasn't a tax. And the Supreme Court has ruled that the Congress has the jurisdiction to tax the citizens. So you have a Republican Supreme Court justice backing up Obamacare. And now James Comey, who again was a Republican and was nominated by George W. Bush, backs up the Democrats again. You almost never see the reverse ever happening. Why do you think that is?
Well, another example is Chief Justice Breyer, who really is... You could arguably, he might not be the most liberal, but he's one of the most liberal. He was appointed by, I believe, George H.W. Bush. So, that would be another example. I don't know if it's specifically with the Supreme Court you get in that seat and the overarching view of governing, or not governing, but looking at cases from a national perspective changes. I don't know, but you're right. It certainly doesn't seem that the Obama nominations or the Clinton nominations turned more conservative as they got to the Supreme Court. You're exactly right.
I cannot think of one example of that ever happening where a so-called liberal judge becomes a Supreme Court justice and then becomes a conservative, but the other happens all the time.
Yes.
This
yes.
is Glenn Klein on WRJN. We're speaking with Racine County Executive / Czar Jonathan Delagrave. One of the things that I'm so proud of you about is having made mental health care your number one priority in the county of Racine. And there was a report that just came out, I believe yesterday, that nationwide 20 military veterans commit suicide every single day. You talk about a travesty. There have been way more military veterans that have killed themselves than have died in war in these wars in the Middle East. It's incredible. What are we doing locally to help our veterans who are suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome and who are depressed and suicidal?
Yeah, so one, it's an epidemic in our country. It's an epidemic in the Midwest, and quite frankly, we have a lot of problems with that in Racine County, and I'm sure we're not different than Kenosha or Waukesha or Milwaukee or Dane. We have, so on Memorial Day, our county veteran service officer and myself, we went to a couple of events. And the events were really, Glenn, to you know, thank our veterans and, you know, do all that important stuff. But our CVSO went out, and he told the same story of a individual he served with who went on to commit suicide. His whole focus was just what you had brought up about the suicide rate with veterans. Our CVSO officer meets with probably on average 15 veterans a day. Probably half of those are in need of mental health services. So he's transitioning into our clinic as fast as possible. And ultimately, we have the Veterans Court now in Racine County that's also transitioning veterans, not putting them in the court system, but saying, look, if you go to the clinic, you do what you're supposed to do, continue to show up your appointments, you won't be prosecuted for the potential crime that you may have committed. So, you know, I think we have a pretty good system. It's not perfect, but a pretty good system by identifying veterans proactively, getting them the help they need. But yes, we are aware of the severity of the mental health challenges that veterans who are coming back to Racine County face.
One of the things that I always recommend to people, if you know somebody is talking suicide, you have got to tell somebody. You've got to talk to them. You've got to be in touch with them. And one of the things, when somebody is so severely depressed, they won't take their life because they don't have the energy to take their life. It's the problem is when they seem like they're starting to do better. Mm. And this is when people often kill themselves because they now have some energy and yet they're still as mentally ill. And the other thing, too, is that, of course, we're embarrassed about mental illness still in our society. But it's true, County Executive, that mental illness is no different than any other illness. It might be argued that it's even more profound because it is dealing with the most important organ in the human body.
Well, and specifically with veterans, and you also see it in, a little bit in our Hispanic culture as well. There's a huge pride factor.
Yeah.
They go and serve. They've been through the worst of the worst in terms of combat and experiencing, like you said, post-traumatic stress. But they think, you know what, I served here. I don't need help, or if I ask for help, it's a sign of weakness. So there's a huge pride factor to breaking down that barrier with our veterans. So essentially, it's identifying proactively, but it's working with those people around that individual. Have you seen a change in behavior? Has he been more, is he experiencing more isolation? And trying to get that, because oftentimes veterans by themselves aren't going to seek mental health on their own. It's so really that foundation around them has to be aware, and that's what we're trying to work on and preach, because you're right, stigma plays a big part of it.
So there are people that are absolutely listening to the sounds of our voices right now who are depressed. They may have served in the military, or they may know somebody who has served in the military or is severely depressed and suicidal. Locally and countywide, where should people go?
So great question. They can call our clinic right away, and we will see them as soon as possible, same day if need be. We also have a crisis services team that will go out to the particular business or house, wherever that individual is feeling some suicidal ideation. And that crisis service team will work with law enforcement to get to our clinic. And then finally, we have a voluntary inpatient hospital in the county. It's 13-bed. It's voluntary. You come in, we'll get you the services you need. And it's, like I said, it's inpatient, and we'll transition you out to an outpatient setting and continue to work with you as well. And you can stay in that inpatient facility as long as you need be. And then, of course, if we have to, we certainly could chapter somebody. We don't like to do that, obviously. But we have an array of what I think are dynamic services that help individuals with their mental health needs.
Is there a number that...
I'll give you 262-636-3273, and they will get in touch with they will link that individual up with the services they need.
There are so many people hurting in our society and locally as well. You're dealing with a homelessness and a homeless shelter tonight in a town hall meeting. Why don't you tell the beautiful humans about that and what you're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, so we have a great homeless shelter in Racine County now, but that's a shelter that's it's designed to help those individuals that aren't facing serious AODA issues. So what we're trying to do is design a wet shelter for homeless and provide mental health services in that wet shelter. And we've got to find a place to do that. And it can't be near our current homeless shelter because oftentimes those individuals who are going there are recovering, and we can't mix and match, obviously, the two shelters. So we're, again, trying to make progress to identify a suitable location for this wet shelter. We think there are, 20 to 30 people in our community that in the winter months would be in need of this. We have an organization that would be willing to run it on their own, but really trying to find a location is the hard part.
And the location that you guys have picked is where so far?
Well, we don't have one. We had a location, the SEG group that's willing to run this identified a location, but, we thought it's pretty close to a school, probably not the best, so we're kind of starting back at ground zero or from the beginning, and, part of our discussion today will be I have a list of properties that I will be disseminating to the group to see if, this might potentially be a good fit or not, and go from there.
And what time and where is the meeting?
The meeting's at the courthouse, and it's at 1 o'clock.
Oh, so it's this afternoon?
Yes.
Okay, so one until what?
Usually an hour and a half.
Okay, so this afternoon at 1 o'clock at the courthouse, with Racine County Executive Jonathan Delgrave talking about the location and the very real need for another homeless shelter here in Racine County.
Correct.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Czar. Always appreciate your time.
And Glenn, thanks. I appreciate you accommodating me. I like to try to be in there in person, so I really appreciate you having me on.
Our pleasure.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee. A Magnum.media station.
And on this Throwback Thursday, lots of news as WRJN covers the world.
The director testifies. A mother grieves. I'm Michael Toscano. FBI Director James Comey is testifying before skeptical Republicans and supportive Democrats on Capitol Hill right